The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wonderful, wackadoodle, wholesome, wild, and welcoming Wednesday. As we gather together in fellowship, because we are Bible-believing, born-again Christians in the same boat. That's why we call it fellowship. Okay, see, fellowship, same boat. That's how the whole show is going to be. You're on your own. Thank you. Open Tuesday through Sunday, dark on Mondays. Okay, first up, that's what comedy clubs do, people. First up, tying ourselves in knots because we're trying to please the man, the company, the government, or even ourselves. Guess what? That's a loser proposition. Also, as believers, do we get too offended at what Jesus says and does? Do we think that the Egyptians were treated unfairly when God wiped them out to stop them from wiping out Israel? Do we feel bad for the Egyptians? We talk about the insanity in just a little bit. And finally, if hell is not real, then why did Jesus spend so much time talking about it, as much time as talking about the poor as he did about hell? Uh-oh, that could be a problem then. We answer with the truth.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, there are a couple of ways to reach our show. If you call in, Terrific T will answer your call. She will gently and lovingly put you through, and then I will get a chance to talk to you. And then after that, you can go get your aspirin. That's fine, okay? That number, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can text in anytime. You can text in really anytime during the show, but you can text in if you have an answer to trivia, for example. That number is 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And because I watched a sci-fi over the last weekend, if you put your answer in a cup and put that in your microwave and set it on -5 seconds, I may be able to find it in the microwave here. It's not for sure, but you never know. Could happen. All right, so we know people are ready. You're ready to get going. Here we go. I got a lot of material to cover, of course, again, and as usual. Here is question number one for trivia. By the way, if you have a praise report, we'd love to hear it. A prayer request, we'd love to hear it. Some kind of pop question, something we might be able to help with, love to hear it. Do our best to answer. But right now, let's start off with some easy trivia. What was the name of the criminal who was released in place of Jesus? What was the name of the criminal released in place of Jesus? They even made a movie about it. I don't know if you knew that or not. So I'm just, you know, but it was not that great a movie. I know people are like,
I feel like none of them like ever are.
Well, you know what? It's so funny. The greatest Christian movie per se. So there was a lot of, you know, good attempts and so on and so forth. And the Ten Commands with Charlton Heston. I thought that was pretty good. But the best one was the movie called Jesus, which actually used as its script the Gospel of Luke. Instead of all the stuff that they add, because they always add stuff, right? Always. I mean, it's so bizarre. They always add stuff. The Gospel of Luke was actually used for the movie Jesus, so it's probably the most accurate. There was one movie that came about and was showing Israel running away from the Egyptians, and then Israel crosses the Red Sea, and when the Egyptians cross, they're all drowning in the waters like 2 feet or 3 feet or 4 feet in the movie. In the reality, in the Bible, the Israelites crossed on dry land. There was a wind, and it was dry land. There was no mud. There was no anything. It was all dry. And then when the Egyptians went to follow, all of the water came crushing back, and that's how they died. It wasn't like they slowed down in the mud. It's like, yeah, that's not what it says. Just use it. I mean, it's there. It's amazing enough. Write it based on what it says. I don't know. That's just me. All right, where else am I going? Oh yeah, don't forget, a couple things to keep in mind. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. We've just proved that. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, pretty straightforward. And asking you again, who was the person who was replaced in place of Jesus? Again, like I said, they did do a movie on it. I know I'm supposed to like it. It was just like, okay. Don't forget our DNA, which has a modification. And I want to make sure. So I know that Terrific T has been listening to the modification. So we have three things. We have the D, the N, and the A. The D is draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed. We didn't change that. And then always be ready to serve. That's our DNA. All right, somebody calling in for the question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
Well, good to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear you calling in. Okay, this is a pretty straightforward question. I don't know if you saw the movie on it or not. We'll talk about that in a second. But who was the person who was released and then Jesus was kept in prison? This person was released because the crowd asked for him.
Me, Barabbas.
That is correct, sir! Barabbas is correct. Do you by chance, did you see the movie Barabbas? Just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, yeah, you didn't miss much. Wasn't that good. Excellent answer. Great way to start the show. I appreciate it.
Was it like Anthony Quinn or somebody in it?
What? Yes, exactly. Exactly. It was like a big star production. It was just like...
Yeah.
It was just not where it needed to be. Kind of like Ishtar. No,
it's not
stuff like that.
Mimically accurate for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Excellent, sir. Great job.
Thank you. Bless you.
All right. God bless you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, here we go on our very first teaching, okay? Very first Mick teaching, Mick sermon. That's what I'm calling it, Mick sermon. By the way, I did have to do my vocab quiz yesterday. I did really good. I'm doing really good. Hey, 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 ho, hey, ho. It's the paper that I'm looking at down the road that's 35 pages with 120 citations I'm a little concerned about. Anyhow, collations. That's a cross. Oh my gosh. That's a cross between Galatians and Colossians. It's Galatians. That's a new one, right? Book of Dave.
Right. It needs to be in like the combined words.
Yeah. Every other word would be every other sentence. Man, would that be tough. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And also I'm going to use verse 23, so don't freak out on me. Verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And verse 23, right after that, six verses later, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Okay? This is highly important. I want to stress this in the deepest possible levels. Okay? We don't do what we do for the man. We don't do what we do for the company. I'll get back to the man thing in a second. We don't do what we do for the government. Okay? You don't do what you do for the government. You don't do what you do for the company. You don't do everything you're doing for the country. You don't do it for the man. And in this case, it's talking about the worldly man, not the heavenly man. And we don't even do it for ourselves. Oh, that's the one. We're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Watch this. In his name and in giving thanks. So here's the challenge. I'm not going to drop more homework on you or anything like that, but I'm gonna challenge you, and it's not to make you irritated. I can do that by telling the same joke for an hour over and over and over again. That would be irritating. What it is the next time you're engaged in activity or the next time you're engaged in a conversation that's more than two sentences, so probably texting probably wouldn't work in this, I want you to do your best to recall that what you're doing in the name of the Lord, and you should be doing it with thanks. And by the way, I don't think that's easy, and I'm not always talking about the situations when you're in the midst of the hardness of things. I'm talking about in your general principle in life, we are supposed to do in word and deed the things that we do. That means with our mouths and our hands, we're supposed to do them in the name of the Lord with a thankful attitude to God the Father through Christ. So this requires that everything that comes out of our mouth or everything that we do with our hands has a devotion that's in our mind and in our hearts, and that is unto the Lord. When we're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that means that the things that we do, besides also meaning the righteousness of Christ, the things that we do as unto the Lord. If the Lord was in the room sitting next to you or on the phone with you, would he approve or acknowledge that what you're doing and what you're saying is good, and do you do it with a right heart? Do you know how hard that is? I want to say that this is not something that I take lightly or talk about lightly, nor do I expect you to turn around tomorrow and do this in everything you do. All I'm looking for is for you to have that one time where you go, I really should be doing this in the name of the Lord. If you just do that once, it's such a great, great moment because you'll recognize that the Lord is the one who's moving that into our lives. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it with a heart that's unto the Lord with thanks. Sometimes the tasks that we have are just mundane and irritating and dumb and stupid, like getting on a treadmill and going swimming miles. But the idea is to have the right attitude, the right heart, the right spirit in everything we do. And the more that we reflect Jesus Christ, the better off we're going to be. And here's one hint that I'll give you, and then I'll exit and we'll get into our serious teach in the next teach. The more you do this, the closer you're going to connect to the Lord, the easier it is to get through the things that you're doing, because you're not doing it alone. You're doing it in partnership with God. It's so much easier. When you partner with God, it's so much easier. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know that music that the very last thing before we come back in, that's the very game show music-y, isn't it? It's just like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, I mean, it's just like...
Not to mention, like, the round of applause at the end of it.
Yeah, right? It's like you're expecting, okay, the next thing, we're giving away a car. Okay. It's just a little matchbox, but hey, we're giving away a car!
Giving away the car!
Oh, my goodness. I'm in a little bit better mood because I did work out, so I only have one more workout that I have to do this week. That's all I can say. Trivia! Okay, trivia. There's a very straightforward question here, so a lot of people should be able to get this. Want our texters to really step up as well. Here we go. It is very simple. What was Matthew's other name? Matthew had another name. Not just Matthew, but what was the other name for Matthew? If you know, reach out to us, 214-210-8483. Let's not forget about hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so let's just check out the website. Don't forget, I added a picture today. Ha 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 ha. That is on there. See if you guys can figure out what picture I added, plus a little statement. And there's stuff that I'm going to be adding more and more, but that's a great place to give if you want to support the ministry, and we'd appreciate it. And for those of you that have been giving or have tried to give or do some kind of giving, we really do appreciate it. The money goes, I mean, it's everything is about 99% goes to Pan Radio. I mean, that's a lot. We don't get a lot of money. We don't have a lot of money. We're low budget, but we're good at it. We're talented at it. That's kind of what counts. All right, so the question on the board, what was Matthew's other name? He had more than one name. Many times back in the day they did. For me, I would be known as David Spoon, or some people would call me or have called me Spoon, and then there's other people that have called me late for dinner and on purpose. Come on, that's good. That's not that bad. All right. Let's do, before I teach on hell, let's do a little bit of the Hebrew dictionary. I never tell to you what's happening. I just kind of throw it out. Do you remember what the, I think it's the, okay, let's play that music. What is that?
Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Hava, Nagila, Benisrecha.
Okay, so this word is called Shemet.
Shemat. So you got to think of shoe and mat together. Shemat. Okay, so it doesn't go all the way to shoe. It's Shemat.
Shemat.
Yeah, it's like a shoe mat. A shoe mat without the ooh. Shemat.
Shemat.
Okay. Okay. Shemat literally is a rag. I mean, literally, it is the rag. In the literal sense, you can use shemat to refer to really bad-looking clothing that looks like it's been worn through. You probably don't want to say, man, your clothes look like shemat, because it's really quite an insult. It's what you use to clean out, like, the inside of your vacuum cleaner. You know, it's like, yeah. It's like,
oh, that's insulting.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what the thing says. If you say that, you might get hit. That's what it says on the piece of paper. I did decide that we are going to be in our own dictionary. I'm going to be throwing my Hebrew words that I'm learning in some of my advanced Hebrew words at you guys. So, you know, you might learn Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzei Lechem Min Haaretz and go, I can say that. And then we'll go from there. You'll see what that all means.
What in the wide, wide world?
You know what's really funny about that is that comes from Blazing Saddles. All right, let's get into this. I know people don't want to talk about it, but we don't talk about partly the gospel. We want all of it. We want everything that's in there. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, this is in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 11, and people who see this as a future position eschatologically say this is what's going to happen, and then people who don't see this as just a future, although it's pretty important to understand that it's not yet fully transpired, of course, now, but they still say this is a reference to hell being separated from God, and that has actually been a definition, by the way, of hell from really early on in Jewish writings, that the person and God for all eternity would be estranged or separated, and that they will potentially, now this is not, I'm not going to use this as a Bible thing, but I'm just giving you descriptions, they will potentially burn in their lust that they have never been able to satisfy on this side, but they will burn in that lust forever, never finding an ability to quench it. That's the torment. And the idea is that people are like, oh, no, wait, Dave. God, part of God's name is love. There's an O in God, and there's an O in love. Yes, and there's an O in, oh, no. But that's not the point. The point is this. God takes great lengths and goes to great depth to communicate to people his existence, his commitment, his willingness to love on them. But if people reject him by taking the mark of the beast, and I'm not even going into the interpretive part of that, okay? I'm not talking about whether that's an actual mark plus a mark that people exist in or function in by acknowledging a beast over God. What I am saying is that these people are going to be tormented. And the scripture is pretty clear that the torment and the smoke of that torment rises forever and ever. The word rises, R-I-S-E-S in the Greek, is the perfect present tense, never ceasing, never ending. And then it says there's no rest day or night. It is a deep restatement of the prior statement. So the idea, well, God would never create a hell to put people in, is people telling God how to be God. And that's a problem. Okay? Here's where you got the problem. Romans 9:20 says, who are you to talk back to God? See, the Lord, now I got to be careful here because I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to kind of set the stage. Okay? You ever notice, and I think that T and I would probably be in sync with this. You ever notice I have an opinion on everything? It's pretty accurate, right? I mean, that's a fair statement,
you
right?
You don't say.
Yeah, I do. I have an opinion on everything. But my opinion, I try to derive the majority of my opinion from the Word of God, okay? But my opinion doesn't count the way that God's truth counts. In other words, it's my opinion, and I have it, and I'm going to share it because I'm paying for the radio, and I'm on the radio. But in the end, it really only matters what God says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. And here's a really sad note that I think people don't want to hear, and that is our opinions are cool, but they're not going to change God's truth. And he doesn't care that much. It's like this is God. And you think, well, what do you mean? He's trying to win over as many people as he can. He wins over those that want to come to him. And those that don't, he lets them in their own decision say no, and that's their decision. And it's like you're thinking, well, that just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem fair. You and I wouldn't know what is right or fair no matter how much of our life depended on it because we're sinful. And it's like, I don't know why people, sinful government leading sinful men into sinful situations. How's that going to turn out? Sinful. Why is that hard? And see, I'm that guy that, you know, I'm not actually a cynic. That would not really be accurate. But you know how people have visions of heaven and, you know, it's you know, this, that, whatever. And then about 3/4 of the time, those prove to be baloney. You know, like that didn't happen. This didn't happen. I challenge you to hunt down the people that have had a vision of hell. Those people never backtrack. Their statements are always true, and they have a greater genuine sense of urgency saying, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. I think that's probably more legitimate only in the context that what it produces seems to be much more intense for evangelism. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I think you should be able to share with your family and your neighbor. And your family and your neighbor and your friends and all the people around you, some of them are going to say yes and some of them are going to say no. And even in your own family, some are going to say yes and some are going to say no. And they don't get saved by your faith being accounted for their lives. They have to make that decision. And this should just give you and I all the more of a passion and a commitment to pray for people who to this point have rejected the Lord and have not yet had that encounter. It should just fill us with the fire to pray, 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 pray for people that have thus far said no, that they may at some point say yes. I have prayed for some people for 42 years. And I will pray for them until I can pray no more. And it is possible that even beyond my reach, the Lord can change their hearts and make their lives connected to his. I mean, come on, that's so cool. And that's what moves us. We don't want those people going there. And people are like, well, hell's not real. And hell's as real as everything else Jesus taught. You might as well just get used to it. So let's get people away from there and into his kingdom. Okay? That's the goal. What was the other name for Matthew, by the way? The other name for Matthew? Levi. Levi was the other name for Matthew. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
What is the David Spoon experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Wowzer Bowser. See, you it's nothing wrong with teaching. Hell's only put in the perspective. I think it's the right thing to do. Okay, let's go into our next trivia question. A little more challenging. As you notice, what I try and do, first question pretty easy, second a little tougher, third a little harder, and then I usually try to get the fourth one harder than the other three, unless everybody's having a hard time with the third one. Then I go back the other direction. So here is our next trivia question. Where in the Bible do you find the longest recorded prayer of Jesus? Where in the Bible do you find the longest recorded prayer of Jesus? 972-445-0770 is the call-in. 214-210-8483 is the text. We've gotten a lot of texters. Everybody's doing a great job. Should I ask for the chapter? If you know the chapter, send that too, okay? Give me both. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, check out the website. Lots of fun, and I promise you, if you go on the website, there's nothing on there to go, you are being hypnotized. There's this big thing for a long time where people go on websites like, if you go on that website, something really bad can happen to you. It's like, it's a website, okay? You see that mouse thing? You click. If you don't like
that's
you.
What gets them.
Yeah, that's what it is. This way, you get them, we bring them in. And then once you get them in, then, oh my goodness gracious. Yes, that's what I spend my time doing. That and participles of stem seductions of the word root for Hebrew words like bane. Stuff like that. Okay, anyhow, so let's go into our history. Boy, I'm having fun today. Aren't I having fun? I'm having fun. History. You ready? I think you would be dangerous if they gave you 10,000 sounds. Would you just not be so dangerous?
I'd be really dangerous. I think every time you would talk, I would just find something, find a sound.
Okay, you cannot have that then. That's pretty funny. Today, so technically, I'm just going to say this and be really careful because we honor people that have served in our country in all sorts of ways, people laying down their lives for other people they don't know. I think that's cool. Today is VJ Day, which is Victory Over Japan. The thing about it is there's three different dates. There's a date where it was announced, a date where it was signed, a date where there was a ceremony. So I'm just saying this is one of those three. Okay, that's all I can tell you because it's hard to keep track. It's also Pierce Your Ears Day. I don't know. I mean, did you do that when you were young at all? Did you? I mean,
yeah, my mom got my ears pierced when I was younger.
Like really younger? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's back in society, that was a symbol, and now it's just a racket where they sell stuff. Along with that, it's World Coconut Day. I actually do like coconuts. I just don't know why it's World Coconut Day. And then it's National Blueberry Popsicle today, and I am a huge fan of blueberry popsicles. Okay, I'm just telling you. Don't get mad at me.
Yummy.
Exactly. All right. This is classic stuff, as we always cover these things. For those that were into or are into rock and roll, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame opened in Cleveland, Ohio in 1995. In 1969, the first ATM machine was installed. 1969. I mean, I was young, so I mean, it's like, really? I would not have known. And then these two things I thought were classic. First of all, Chess, Bobby Fischer, and Boris Spassky began their controversial $5 million chess match in 1992. $5 million for a chess match. Now you couldn't get a buck 50.
Man, maybe I should have learned to play chess.
You should have played chess instead of checkers. You could be getting paid a lot more than you're getting paid here to do the board. And then here's the last thing. In 1957, the world's shortest professional boxing match took place by Teddy Baker and Bob Roberts. Do you know how long it lasted? Shortest one. Take a guess.
I'd say like a minute and a half.
7 seconds.
Oh, wow.
That's short.
That must have been like a really like quick
guess
knockout.
What a ding, ding. The guy was out. Gone. Okay. 7 seconds. Wow. All right. So we have some people that have listened to our show before, and I want to be careful on how I communicate what I'm about to communicate. Okay. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I'm trying to challenge you and kind of lift you towards the Lord. That's my goal. In John chapter 6, verse 60 and 61, and then again in verse 67 and 68, it's very important elements. In verse 60 and 61 of John 6, a lot of sixes there. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, "Does this offend you?" And so here's something that's a challenge for you and for me, and I'm included. That I think the Lord not only challenges us by his Holy Spirit, but it's one of those things that you have to be honest with the Lord in. When the Lord teaches you something or brings you through a trial, or brings you through an understanding, it is not always the most pleasant experience. At least in my personal experience, it's not always been pleasant. I went through a Christian church cult in order to help people out of Christian cults, okay? So I went through it. But when I went through it, it was so hard. It was, I can't believe I signed up for the kingdom of God for this kind of attitude. And that's one of the things that you and I have to be careful about, is that when the Lord's teaching and when the Lord's directing and that he's challenging us as we grow, whether you're 10 or 110, he's going to continue to work on you. And you have to be aware that sometimes it may be offensive to your sensibilities. That you understand. That doesn't mean that your offense is this huge, huge sin. What it really means is that the Lord is trying to develop and grow you into more of an image of Jesus Christ, and that's part of growing pains. And growing pains is like, And listen, they call them pains because they're painful. That's why they're called growing pains. And so in Matthew 11:6, Jesus said, "If anyone is not offended in me, he's blessed." That's because Jesus' ways are so radical. In order to live, you have to die. In order to receive, you have to give. In order to do anything in the kingdom, in order to process anything in the kingdom, you do it almost in the opposite way that you've been told. So to see it, you got to believe it. To receive it, you got to give it. To live, you got to die. To take hold of something, you got to let go. It's like, wow, Lord. Could you make it any more bizarre? It's not like it's a hard task in that you're like, oh, I've got to put, you know, holes in cement and put pegs in and climb up. It's more like you got to go, I've got to untwist me. And see, here's the thing. There's no other place. There's no other person. There's no other thing. There's no other concept. There's no other philosophy. There's no other access point. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. There's no other entrance. There's no other doorway into heaven. There's nobody whose name has been given under heaven whereby exists eternal life except the name of Jesus Christ. And when other people tell you, I've got the answer to everything, it's this, that, whatever, you know, and I've had this conversation with people, I just say, well, do you have a heaven to put yourself in? And they're like, well, no. It's like, well, then stop talking. If you don't have heaven to put me in, I could care less. Jesus is the only way, and that's the way it goes. And his ways are not always simplified. And you will find that if you think they're simplified, he's probably not working on you very hard. It's more like when he's working on your heart, you're like going, oi, this is crazy. Right. But that's how God does produce Christ-like believers, through the kingdom of his wisdom, which we think is crazy, but is necessary. In verse 67 and 68, Jesus, he knew what was going on with his disciples. He knew that some of them were like going, I can't do this. So he said, therefore, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You see, that therein lies the whole issue. There is nowhere else to go. You can go somewhere else, but to what end? You can find other ways to finish between right now and your last earthly day. You can find easier routes. But to what end? To being separated from God? To being distanced from his miracles and distanced from his deliverance? And so when he's molding and working on you and changing, it hurts. I think it hurts. I think some of the things that I went through, I've told the Lord this, I don't know, tell you, I think most people would agree. I can't stand the trials about patience. I just, again, that's my attitude, again. You know he's up there going, yep, again, yep, because you're not getting it the first 999 times, so why not, you know? Like, oh my goodness. It's like that Ziggy cartoon where Ziggy looks up to heaven and goes, why? And the next panel, the finger comes back down and goes, why not? See? The things that the Lord does are different, but that's where our trust comes in. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. This is a huge, huge statement, something the Lord taught me a while ago. I still work on it, but it's still really important. You have to trust in the quality of God. People are awesome, and people can be awesome and do great things, but they're not like God. And even though you don't understand it all, you have to trust in the quality of God. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Remember that? Okay. All right, in answer, where in the Bible do you find the longest recorded prayer of Jesus? That'd be John 17. Excellent job, everybody. All right, folks, you are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you've got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? You know that one? On the side of his head. That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple, because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right. That's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll stop playing that when I stop laughing at all of the jokes. If I listen to one or two of them and they're, you know. I mean, and just think of how much I'm sparing people because I don't tell the other 5,000 jokes that I have. There you go. She's ready. You know, and then they're not all even Christian. So you got the spiritual ones, you know, God is one. And then the kid asks, when's he going to be two? And then you got that. Then you got this one where a guy, did you hear about the guy that got cut up completely on the left? Did you hear about him? He's all right. See, you can just endlessly, don't even get me going on this stuff. I can go on forever. That's the only noise you're going to make is that buzzing noise. It's terrible. What are we doing? We're doing our last trivia question. Good job on the trivia today, everybody. Here you go. Here you go. Last trivia question. Name the two bodies of water that the children of Israel crossed on dry ground. Not muddy ground, dry ground. What were the two names of water, two of them, that the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground? If you know that answer, 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, check those out. Some good stuff on there. I think you'll like it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Do we miss everything? Do we cover everything? Oh, so I did want to say this. Friday, I'm going to be doing a teaching. So I have my own list of my favorite kind of things to teach. So Friday, I'm going to be doing one of my favorite teachings, okay? So I'm going to have a good time one way or another. And then we're going to be adding in a couple of spiritual gift teachings. Excuse me, I had to cough, which is not supposed to be done on professional radio, but since we're not professional radio, I can do it. And then we've got a whole nother series, and I'm actually praying. You know, I thought about once we're done with Philippians that we should be doing the book of Acts, but we might go into Samuel. So I'm still kicking that around, that in Genesis. So I'm still kind of struggling on which direction. Not struggling. I'm just trying to make the right decision on that. Okay? All right. Let me share with you some of my favorite passages. I've actually had people out of Proverbs. And I've actually had people write me, call on the show,
send me a text and say, you're not allowed to have a favorite passage because all the passages are inspired by the Lord. And that is correct. All the passages are inspired by the Lord, but there are many great promises, and I like those more than I like the passages that have to do with how to handle mold. And if you can't say that, then there's something wrong with you unless you're into mold, and then that would make sense. So one of my favorite passages comes out of Proverbs 16:4, the first portion of it. It says, the Lord works out everything for his own ends. And I think that the hard thing for a lot of us is to see that at the end of a situation, the Lord has done many more things and has weaved many more effective Christ-like characteristics, different personality elements that reflect God and who he is and his attributes throughout a whole process than we would ever have imagined. And I think it's important to understand that God works out everything for his own end. And we use Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And there's nothing wrong with using that. And while that passage is centered in justification, sanctification, and glorification in the Romans 8 section, it does say the phrase all things, which happens to mean everything. Now, a lot of people say that's everything except for these things. Okay, but that's not what the word means. It means everything. That's exactly what it means. It's like everything. And so this is what the Lord does. In Proverbs 16:4, he works out everything for his own end. He's doing it so he can demonstrate his love, so he can get his children safely through, so he can leave testimony, so he can declare his wisdom, and about 1,000 other reasons. And so it's important for us to grasp that. With that understanding is understanding that the things that you go through are oftentimes reflective or helpful for other people. Okay? You might go through a very hard and dark time, and it's very difficult, but amazingly, after a certain amount of time, you meet somebody who's going through that similar situation, and amazingly, you are able to encourage them and strengthen them and empower them and give them the tools and the keys that you learned when you were going through it. Amazingly, right? When Noah and I first got to Texas, in our first 6 months, it was hard. It was really tough. So in 2 weeks, our show is going to be on for a year and a half. The first year in Texas was really difficult. And Aunt Deb, she's one of our board members, she had gone through the exact same thing. They came out to Texas. They didn't have a job. They didn't know what they were doing. And the Lord just worked it out. And she kept encouraging us and saying, just, you know, stay the course, stay the course. You're going to see the Lord reveal it. You're going to see the Lord open it up. And then when the Lord opened it up, we're all like going, amazing, amazing. And now we're at a year and a half later. And it's like that lesson that she went through was for us too. And our lesson that we went through will be for somebody else because it all works out for God. And it all works out to his glory. And it all works out for our benefit. And it's hard for us to remember that or to think in those terms. And that's because we're very short-sighted. So I'm saying this to you because there's some of you out there that you're going through, and what you're going through, it's difficult. And I'm not taking away from that. And I'm not saying you should just go around, you know, babbling fake praise every 3 seconds. I don't think that's legitimate either. I think you can be thankful for God for whatever you're going through, believing that he's going to bring you out the other end because he's faithful and true. But I also recognize that there's genuine pain that we encounter while we go through this these processes. But the Lord is not up there going, you know, how can I make this work to their benefit? It's already a part of his plan. He doesn't have to figure it out. It's us. We're figuring it out. And when people say, okay,
Don't get mad at me. When people go, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's exactly the opposite of truth, because God gives you so much more that you can't handle that you have to turn to God and go, if you don't deliver me from this, I'm going to jump off a bridge. In other words, he gives you so much, it takes a miracle. That's exactly what he wants. And you think, why? Because then there's no question in the testimony who did it. Because if you can figure out the angle, if you can cover the angle, then you take the glory. It's not that God, he won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able, but he'll put you in plenty of situations where you just sit there and go, because you don't even know what to do, except for go to God and go, help. And the Lord's like, okay, now I get to work. Yay! And that's important to understand it, because you're going to go through a lot more between now and a trumpet. And you got to handle it the best way you can. Just think of what Jesus did. It's like it's a disastrous situation. He knew they were going to crucify him. He got in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. It was genuine. It was sincere. It was real. It's like, if this can pass for me, let it pass. But if not, not my will, but yours be done. That's how he handled it. He brought it to the Father in prayer. He acknowledged it. He asked to be delivered from it. And then he surrendered in it. And then what did the Father bring out of it? Salvation for all of us. Grace and mercy and kindness, compassion. And it's because that's the greatness of God. That he cares so much that he won't let what you're going through just be a part of your life. Oh, this is just the bad road that I've come on. No. There's, in certain sayings, there's these cooler little human sayings than others. And if the Lord has removed somebody from your life, maybe it was the Lord who's like moving them out of your life so he can move something else into your life. I don't know. That's not for me to say. That's for him to say. But he's never wasting anything. I mean, he feeds the people and then he goes, how many baskets left over? Okay, grab those. he doesn't waste anything. Your life is not wasted. Nothing has been wasted. And before you say, well, can God redeem the time? Joel chapter 2 says exactly that, that God will redeem the time. So nothing lost, but a lot of trust that we need to exhibit. Okay? All right. Two bodies of water, children of Israel crossed over, the Red Sea and the Jordan River. Red Sea and the Jordan River. Excellent show. Great job. Thank you, T. I appreciate it. You folks have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back for more. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.